This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Must be nice for the Braves to get to a league championship series and just face a bunch of bullpen games, huh? Every time I turn around, they're taking on Johnny Holstaff.
Unbelievable. I mean, the Dodgers have 217 pitchers, 980 trillion prospects that all throw 104 with like 19 inches of arm side run. And somehow they're all broken. They're all hurt. And it's like games Max Scherzer can't pitch. It's, as you said, it's Mr. Holstaff. I don't get it.
It hasn't been a clinic from Dave Roberts in the NLCS for the Dodgers handling that pitching staff. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Your QB approval rating is coming up in about 7 minutes, 10 after the hour. I'll just tell you that after every single Taylor Heinicke start, we post a poll on Twitter. I will post it coming up at 10 after. And you guys vote yes or no. You approve or you disapprove, very simply. It's a weekly QB approval rating. You're voting to say you approve or disapprove of the job he's doing in the office of starting quarterback. After his first start, he got a 91% approval rating. Through 2 weeks of starts, he was at 83% fall off after the Bills game. Then he had the Falcons game. His approval rating skyrocketed after that game-winning drive to 96%. And then last week was his fourth approval rating poll after his start against New Orleans, and it fell way off. 69.9%. So right about 70% of you approve of the job he's doing. But we've gone from 91 to 83 to 96 to just 70%. And now you got the Chiefs game to react to. And you're not basing it on one game as much as his entire body of work here. But we will see where the trend goes coming up at about 5:10. Let's go to David in D.C. wants to talk Landon Collins with us. David, Landon Collins, exclusively a linebacker, it sounds like, moving forward.
Yeah, hey guys. As far as that's concerned, I had a whole point set up about how you guys were 50-50. I was in agreement with you both. Listening to previous callers, it's kind of split three ways almost. I think this was definitely a case of them mismanaging the roster and not necessarily being prepared. But I agree with the previous caller when he said that they kind of planned this all along, and because of Landon's resistance and reluctance to take this on, they baby-stepped their way into it instead of kind of just being up front and saying, hey, this is what we're doing, this is how we're going to do it, take it or leave it. So they tried to limp him back there as much as they could, but every time he was back there, of course, team threw deep over his head. And now they're putting him there full force. And, I mean, like you said, Grant, or like you kind of alluded to, it's absolutely more so, or 1,000%, not necessarily more so, but 100%, him not being able to play deep as opposed to us needing help at linebacker.
Yeah, because they've got these dudes. Thank you for the call, bro. They called up linebackers from the practice squad. I'm not saying they're better at what, you know, they're asked to do than Landon Collins might be. But they do have other options. Like, I don't know, the 19th overall pick who doesn't play every snap right now. And Ron Rivera says, well, it's game planning or it's situational. If Jamin Davis was awesome, he would just be on the field.
Yeah, every situation should call for the first-round pick.
Somehow Cole Holcomb doesn't come off the field. Like, he's able to play the run and the pass and this package and that package. That's a fifth-round pick out of UNC, and I understand he's in his third year now, but that's kind of been the case for him since pretty early on, that when he was on the field, he stayed on the field. Aaron's in Clinton. Aaron, you got reservations on whether or not this is even going to work, huh?
Well, first of all, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, all right. Glad to be on the show, by the way. But actually, I really think that this is more so just trying to find a spot for Landon, honestly. Like, if we're talking about percentages, I actually think, like, this is, like, 5% trying to, say, quote-unquote, help the linebackers, and 95%, like, well, we just need somewhere to put them, and this is just the best spot to put them. Until, you know, after this season's over, and then we cut them, hopefully. But, yeah, that's basically where I'm at, honestly.
I think I agree with that wholeheartedly. So, the way I think of it is this. If he could play safety, he'd still be playing safety. If he was good at it, he would still do it, and this wouldn't be an issue. But it is. We all know it. I think now maybe he's, I don't want to say he's coming around on it, but it's disguised in, yeah, what's best for the team? Well, I'll finish that sentence. What's best for the team is you don't play safety ever again because you can't do it. You're not good enough. You're going to get beat deep all the time. You can't cover. You can come downhill, and what comes downhill a lot? Linebackers do. Change a couple keys. You're a linebacker now. Go down the hall. Go to that meeting room. This also would be the case. If they had good linebackers, he wouldn't be able to crack that lineup. I think of it as twofold. I think of it as a failure of roster building and then an inherited problem that they're making the best of at this moment here entering week 7. I don't blame them for making the best of it in week 7. I blame the regime for going into the season with this crew of linebackers and then this kind of awkward handling of now a failed free or strong safety, whatever you want to call them, to try to fill a void that's clearly a problem.
So I think everything you're saying is completely fair.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking kind of in the rear view.
I fully admit I am. I am. Yeah.
Which I'm not critiquing, right? Do what you want to do. And that's part of this conversation. I have been as well at times. If I decide, though, I want to just look in the windshield for this for a second.
Yep.
All that really matters is does their defense get better? Will their defense be better with Collins at the line of scrimmage and another guy playing safety? And theoretically, it should. And it's happened a lot the last couple of weeks that he's been used this way. But there have still been plays where he was safety and it didn't particularly work out. There's still going to be routes, by the way, as a linebacker where he's one-on-one on the outside. Like the Chiefs' random backup tight end, the name Forster is in my head. I don't think that's right. But the guy that made the jumping catch inside the 5-yard line on their opening drive that set up a first and goal from inside the 5. Darius, you're always money with random names on random teams.
Oh, was that
Who is the
name?
Random backup tight end for the Chiefs that made the catch over Landon Collins?
It's like Forster or something like that?
Yeah, you're on it. It's Forster or something. Yeah.
The Subaru Forster.
All right, so you're going with what I'm going with, which is Forster.
Forster.
I don't think that's right, for the record.
Four-star.
That was what came to mind, but I don't know. The point of the dude's story is he's still going to have that matchup occasionally, yeah, where like he's got to cover this guy one-on-one on the outside. I don't know how great that is. Ben, Rockville, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great show as always. You know me quite well. I'm a big fan. Me personally, I got to tell you guys, Landon Collins, great against the run, horrible against pass. By the way, can you guys pick up Evan Engram? Would you guys be interested?
Cause no.
You guys, yeah. I thought you would say that.
No.
Yeah, well, basically, same thing as Landon Collins.
Wait, is he available? Sex. What happened? Is he no longer a tight end?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think most Giants fans, I'll admit, you guys know me forever. I want to get rid of him as well. He's trash. Same as Landon Collins.
Yeah.
I think Giants are like, oh, guys, take Landon Collins. Great against the run, hard against the pass. Not a two-way player. Period. Why do you think Landon Collins? Why do you think Giants? Like, we were so excited. Well, I think they're so excited to get rid of Landon Collins. Not a two-way player. Period. End of story. That's what Landon Collins is. Just as you guys know, football, it's about being a two-way player in certain positions. Landon Collins, not a two-way player. Great against the run, sucks against the pass. That's it.
That's kind of the book. By the way,
appreciate
Joe
Fortson.
Fortson is the name. We were close.
Yeah, like Danny Fortson.
We're sniffing it a little bit. He's listed as their fourth tight end, by the way. Had no problem going up the ladder.
On that play?
Or as Ian Eagle said, going up an imaginary ladder, I think he said. And Charles Davis goes, I don't know if it was an imaginary ladder, partner. Well, he was basically standing on Landon Collins' shoulders as he caught that pass.
Most of the time, Joe Fortson may be a number four tight end. On that play against Landon Collins, that's a number one tight end option right there.
TE1, it looked like.
That's right.
All right, I just posted the poll.
Here we go.
At Grant H. Paulson. So here's how this works. It is time for our weekly QB approval rating. How do you feel about the job Taylor Heinicke is doing in office as QB1? At Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. You vote now. You either approve or you disapprove. Now, it is very, very early.
Mm-hmm.
The pendulum could still very much swing. But we're 150 votes in the last 2 minutes since I posted this.
Uh-huh.
33% are approving. 67% are disapproving.
The worm has turned.
His low watermark so far in office has been a 70% approval.
I believe this will be the new low watermark.
Are we seeing the end of the Heineke fandom? Like, what?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
This is happening?
So the Heineke folks who still believe it's not his fault, and they're like, well, look at who he's throwing to.
So
and
that's down to a third of the fan base?
That vocal group that carried us through, that they were the first into the breach, right? They ran in, and everybody kind of followed behind him, and they're still running. And then they're looking around, they're going, where is everybody? I thought you guys were, no, it's just us. It's like eight dudes who are just like, Heineke! And they all went to ODU and they used to pound beers in the parking lot when he used to beat like Stetson in football.
I can't believe we're here this quickly.
Oh, yeah.
One of my frustrations is just the reactionary nature of the media, of analysts, of fans. Like, if you've always been skeptical or thought of him as mostly a backup and you're going to vote disapprove, no problem. If you had him a couple weeks ago as a guy, 2 weeks ago after the Atlanta game, you're telling me this dude can play.
He just has it, you guys.
This dude's a starter. He's a top half the league starter in the league. And now you're disapproving? Wow. I don't know what to tell you. So last week you approved, Danny. You've been voting approve throughout the season. Are you sticking with approving of the job Taylor Heineke is doing in office?
So I thought I'd go a little spicy this week and say disapprove.
Ooh.
Because I got a little frustrated over the last few weeks. It wasn't just, oh, they played good defenses, and it's as simple as that. It's the physical tools. It's this. Now I don't have the scramble around guy. Where's my Doug Flutie? Where's my Jeff Garcia? Where's my runaround? We're not doing that now. Now we're just in the pocket. It's ugly. I don't like it. It stinks. I kind of want to pass on that. So I will say that I shifted my vote to disapprove. I still am not anti this gentleman. I just want to let him know. I'm just a little shot across the bow. I'm saying, hey, man, let's get back to doing the fun thing. Be the fun guy. Backyard football guy. You are our real life Willie Beeman. I want the Willie Beeman. I want the you turn left at the car, you turn left at the basketball hoop, you button hook, and you go as deep as you possibly can, ready, break. I want that guy. I don't need this under control game manager guy, the guy that forces stuff. I need you to run around a lot. That's what I want. I want the playmaker back.
He was at 70% approval last week, a new low watermark from this fan base voting at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. We're 300 votes in right now. 38% are approving, 62% are disapproving of Taylor Heineke. Let's go to Mark in Largo on G&D. Hey, Mark, how are you, buddy?
What's up, Mark?
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right, guys. And you know, I'm a big fan of his, but I do kind of agree with that. Look, let me say something, man. And I've been going back and forth with your producer the whole time. I know. Y'all talked about earlier that Washington shot down the Tua trade rumors. Look, I'm looking at two websites. One right now, I'm talking to you guys right now, fan-sided, to saying that they're waiting on Washington to get Tua. And then there's Newsbreak. If you download that, download that to your iPhone or your Samsung, and you can get that as well. They're also saying the same thing. So there's something going on here that I think you guys need now.
Mark, I'm gonna let you finish, Kanye style. I'm gonna let you finish. I'm not trying to joan on anyone who works on those sites. They probably do a really good job.
That may be true.
That's not exactly Pro Football Talk, ESPN.com, okay, or NFL Net.
And I think, Mark, real quick, and I promise you get to talk more. I think Houston is leaking stuff out to try to drum up another bidder, somebody else to increase Miami's offer in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. I think this is coming. I don't think anyone's lying. I think it's from Houston.
You don't think Washington has any idea, have any use for Tua?
At
all.
Grant and I debated that. I'd take a flyer. He wouldn't. I think that's a reasonable debate. But I think Washington is not interested.
It depends on what you have to give up to get him.
Right.
Well, of course. For me, too. What would you give up to get Tua, Mark?
Sixth round?
Oh, well, then you're in my boat. You're not in Danny's boat.
First of all, you haven't seen much of him.
But, Mark, Danny's given up a second-round pick.
Anything more than a fifth? I think people need over an aspirin need a head exam. Seriously. You cannot give up anything more than a fifth. He's in. First of all, he's got ribs. He's not going to play Sunday anyway.
He's always hurt.
Is he out again this weekend?
True. Now, the flip side of that, if you get him, you only keep him for two. He's got two more years left on his contract. You can see where he goes. He does have an arm. That's the one thing we can say, and he can move around.
He has two of them. The problem is that the arm he uses to throw the ball, it is not powerful enough to get it where it needs to go.
Okay. And by the way, I want to apologize.
Pop me.
I was listening to your show earlier with Ben Standing. Grant and Danny, I thought y'all did a great job doing the interview, but it seemed like he was on another. I don't know what he was thinking about, but you guys did a great job. And this is just me. John Kahn seemed like he would have been a better person to talk to about serious issues as far as the quarterback situation outside of Ben Standing. It seemed like he was on joke time the entire time. I felt like I was watching Danny stand up. And Danny, you do a great job.
Oh, thanks,
dude. Just, look at it Mark, was more about just throwing compliments
about you guys being serious.
Well, a couple of things. So Standing is the most plugged in person, in my opinion, like as far as around the league. Like he just, all that dude does is text people and contact people. So I got a pretty good feel based on being in the media room and being in the press box and being around the team as much as I am on like who's plugged in. Ben Standing's really plugged in. So that's why we had him on. He had a piece in The Athletic. You can read it if you want to, about folks he's talking to around the NFL, what they think about the quarterback situation. Love John Kahn. That's my guy. He was at my wedding. I've known John since I was a kid. Big John Kahn fan. We could have had him on to talk about that. He didn't write a story today about it. Ben did. So that's number one. Number two, the Tua stuff, he said, well, he's on Danny's side. No. If you would give up a sixth-round pick for Tua, you're on my side.
You're on everybody's side, yeah.
I would give up a sixth-round pick for Tua. I wouldn't give up anything that means anything for Tua. Danny's giving up a 2, a 4, and a 6. So that's a whole different world there. But I appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, Mark.
Let's go to Chris in Alexandria. Chris, right now, the polling on Taylor Heinicke is not good for QB1. We're asking people if they approve of the job he's doing. We do it every single week. He's been as high as 96% approval just a couple weeks ago after the Atlanta game. Right now, 39% of the votes coming in saying they approve of Taylor Heinicke.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. I think I'm in the approval column. I actually am one of those people who originally did not see Heinicke as a QB1, and I still don't. But for what he's had to overcome to this point, bad defensive play, pretty good line play, but then you got your first string weapons getting hurt. He's had to overcome a lot. He's about 70-30 for me. He needs to do a lot more to, be seen as a QB1 in my eyes, but, he's at least trying. He's doing what they're asking, and he's not backing down. So I like what I see. I think he can still get better, and I really hope he does. But I don't think he's the long-term answer.
That's all fair.
Yeah, appreciate it.
That's all really fair. I mean, he should play better against Green Bay than he played last week. I mean, again, a couple of these games, you're not going to play worse than you did. Like, this was better to me than New Orleans. Still wasn't particularly good. I want to see him scramble more, which you talked about. Mm-hmm. I want to see him get back to doing Taylor Heinicke stuff, which he didn't do this past week. A lot of people are talking about missing so many players. Let's get into that next. How much of Heinicke's struggles do you think are about the personnel around him? Because what I see is, whether it's Logan Thomas or it's Ricky Seals-Jones, if you're missing with accuracy, it really doesn't matter who it is. It's like, well, he doesn't have De'Ami Brown or Cam Sims or Curtis Samuels.
Or Brandon Scherff.
But I'm talking about the wide receiver.
No, I know.
So he just has DeAndre Carter. But if DeAndre Carter's going on a crosser and he overthrows him by 4 yards when he's wide open, who cares who it was? It could have been Julio Jones. It could have been Davante Adams. If you're overthrowing a guy, you're overthrowing a guy. But do you guys think that's a big part of it? And to Danny's point, as he just mentioned, he doesn't have the right guard or the right tackle. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. We'll be right back.
like it's more of a weekly management thing, you know, with him as far as just, hey, let's balance what he needs to do during the week. And then, you know, he's got some other issues as well, you know, but they from just being banged up from just playing running back, you know, and taking hits. But the that more thing is just management during the week. But the other thing, like with Antonio, he's a young player, you know, so he's missing out on practice reps too, which, you know, just hurts him going forward for the entire season. But, you know, it's just the thing with Antonio. It's not so much pitch count. I think once he's ready to go Sunday, he can play. And, you know, we gave him quite a few carries in the past few weeks. But just getting him to Sunday and making sure that he's taking care of his body during the week is the biggest obstacle.
As Scott Turner talking about Antonio Gibson, having him on the field this weekend will help Taylor Heinicke. He has been banged up, lost a fumble, wasn't able to finish a game against the Chiefs. Did have 20 carries, which tied a career high against the Saints, just 10 this past week. A combined 104 yards on 30 attempts in weeks 5 and 6 against Kansas City and New Orleans. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, talking Taylor Heinicke, our weekly QB approval rating. Do you approve or disapprove of the job Heinicke's doing as QB1? I think I went through the history of the voting, but real quick, I could do it again for you if you're just jumping in the car. So we've done this after each of his starts. 91% of you approved after his first start, 83% of you after his second, up to 96% after his third. That was the come-from-behind win against Atlanta, not surprisingly. Then the Saints fiasco led to just 69.9%. We'll round it up. 70% of you approved of the job Taylor Heinicke was doing in office after that Saints game. And right now, Danny, 612 votes later, 38% are approving of Taylor Heinicke. Seems like the winds are swirling in a different direction on the young quarterback. I shouldn't say young. He's not that young. The inexperienced quarterback.
Inexperienced, yeah.
More so than age. Real quick an answer before we get to the phones, because I wanted to drill down on this with you.
Mm-hmm.
We keep hearing the whole personnel argument, and I think it's totally fair. You're an inexperienced QB like he is. To not have your wide receiver 2, your wide receiver 3, your wide receiver 4 in a game a couple weeks ago, variations of them over the last few weeks. Your tight end 1, who is your second best receiving option, your right guard 1, and your right tackle 1. Like, all those things add up.
Yep.
I'm not saying that it's helping him. It clearly hinders him. But I just don't think it's been as big of a deal as people think, because the O-line has played well. And because, maybe this is the most important thing, Danny, there are still plays to be made that aren't being made. Like, there are still throws where he's throwing to open backups. Ricky Seals-Jones, DeAndre Carter, like, name the guy, and he's missing him. And it doesn't matter who it is if you're missing him.
Sure. I mean, it does matter. The how much is always a great sports debate, but my best example of this is Tom Brady. His last 2 years in New England, where they had a completely inadequate line, skill set around him, he turned himself into a very pedestrian passer by NFL standards, or especially by his standards. Basically, 4,100 yards, 26 touchdowns, 10 picks, 62.5% completion percentage. That's not Tom Brady. He leaves, goes to Tampa, great supporting cast, at 43 years old, 4,700 yards, 40 touchdowns. You know the story. Context matters. Who you're playing with matters. So this is hurting him. How much? I don't think it's all that much, to be honest with you. I think it's a factor, but the biggest slice of the pie is people figured it out. Defensive coordinators know what to do.
Keep him in the pie.
Ron Rivera's in his ear about game managing. Now he's telling him to take chances again. And he lacks counterpunch. He lacks talent in order to do certain things.
We're going to ask Ryan to explain it all at 5:45 on the show. We give him a topic. He tries to explain it. It's been great so far because he hasn't been able to explain things well. So we're hoping that that trend continues. 6 o'clock, 1/2 hour from now, Michael Jenkins, our Odyssey NFL insider on Grant and Danny for our weekly Thursday convo with Jinx. Let's go to Bobby in Warsaw. Bobby, what do you think of Heinicke?
Yes, sir. I think he should have over 50% approval rating myself, because I don't think they're playing him in the right type of way. They should let him roll out more. They should have a deeper pocket or a shotgun they use him from some, because he's more able to see down the field that way. And when he's in the close pocket, he tends to throw the ball way up over his head.
Yep.
In the kind of arms extended completely over top of his head, and it sails on him like that a lot.
100% agree. I agree with every word of that. I want more boots. I want more rollouts. I want more change the platform. He's not that big a guy. When he's in the pocket, he's got a, you know, the great ones who are small, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, they find these elaborate windows and could do these special things between linemen's hands. Not over, between.
Drew Brees was the best ever.
Brees was great at that too. Heinicke ain't that. And I want to change the launch point all the time.
I'll disagree on shotgun. He's in the gun a lot.
Well, they do that, yeah.
Having said that, I agree on the bootleg stuff. Like, get him outside wide toward the numbers and let him plant there
get him
and
on the
read
run.
The field a little bit. Let's go to Mike in Damascus on Grant and Danny talking Heinicke approval rating.
I myself am going to have to say disapprove. And the only game I was really impressed with Heinicke was last year against Tampa. Other than that, I went to the Saints game, first time seeing him live. And watching him live versus on TV, you really don't see all those missed throws and throws behind. But, man, so many times where you see those open receiver, McLaurin going across the field, throwing it behind him, making bad throws. I'm ready to see Kyle Allen.
Your phone's breaking up. You heard him say, though, he's ready for Kyle Allen. So he's super down on Heinicke. If I can be fair to Heinicke for a moment, the game he went to and is referencing is probably the worst game he's played. I don't think it's a slam dunk. I think the Bills game is comparable to that because we sleep on it should have been three picks. One came off the board. It was almost a pick six. And it could have been five in that game if you look at turnover-worthy plays via PFF. So, I mean, that was really bad. The New Orleans game, I think he missed more throws and didn't see more open players than in the previous week, but didn't have – he only had two egregiously bad interceptions, whereas the last week it was three and one got taken back via penalty. But I also want to give him credit for, I thought the Giants game he was really good, or at least.
I thought he was really good in that game.
The second half of that game made some hero plays. And the Falcons game, the second half was awesome. He made some great plays. I'm sure Logan Paulson could watch the film and say, miss this, this, this. I think you can do that with every quarterback every single week. But I thought in those 2 weeks, not coincidentally, come from behind wins where he led them on game-winning drives. He made a ton of plays. So I think it's a little bit excessive to say you haven't been impressed since last year, but that's his opinion. Let's go to Greg and Olney. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
I think it's part of the coaching staff. I think you hit the nail on the head when you came back from break. One week they're telling him to be a game manager. The next week they're saying take more chances. It's not fair to him. They're not setting him up for success and running the game plan that they need to run with him. It's like they're afraid of him getting hurt. We fell in love with Taylor Heinicke, the baller, not Taylor Heinicke, the drop-back passer.
I wonder, though, you're right about the comments that Danny referenced with Rivera that juxtaposed kind of inverse of one another over a few weeks. I don't think they've told him to stop getting out of the pocket and moving around. I think it's kind of what he saw or what he thought Kansas City was presenting. I saw a couple times where Tyrann Mathieu was spying him. They had defenders, normally secondary members, like at the linebacker level, basically shadowing him to make sure he didn't leave the pocket. That's a pretty easy, quick fix to get a guy who's off schedule and scrambling a ton to stop doing that. You spy him, you keep him in the pocket, now he becomes a pocket passer. And you just took the cape away from Superman, kind of. So expect that from Green Bay. Why wouldn't the Packers do the same thing?
That's why I say the formula's out. I mean, there's no secret. If you make him pat his feet a little bit, stay in the pocket, and go to his third read while he tries to gear up and make that throw, he can't do that. It's a you know, Johan Santana changeup coming out there to be broken up, intercepted, to miss high. Doesn't have the physical tools.
Dale, Fredericksburg, yeah. Grant and Danny. What's up, Dale? How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good, man.
Doing well.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller, just a couple comments. The first thing is there is no substitute for arm strength and the ability to drive that ball down the field, and especially in the NFL. You know, we see that all the time. And so part of that problem with him throwing high is he's off that back foot, and he's trying to generate that extra speed. Good arm strength. They make up for low, late throws, and they can drive it down the field, keep those safeties back. And he's got a lot of guts, but he doesn't have it. And you guys mentioned Russell Wilson. You mentioned Kyler Murray. Those guys were baseball players in small in stature, but they had great arms. They had athletic arms. They had live arms, and they can drive down the field. And Breeze, he was the exception, not a great arm, but he was absolutely precise in his throws. So that's the thing. he's throwing high because he's trying to load up and he's on that back foot. My second point, I'm going to go back earlier to your discussion about Landon Collins, and I'm baffled and I'm amazed. Everybody seems to forget that this defense last year took off and excelled and really went to the top of the class of the NFL
when Landon Collins was hurt and he
left the lineup. Now he's back in it, and we're seeing the same thing we did last year early. But thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it.
It's a great point. It really is a good point. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on Heinicke. Update, 700 votes now in at Grant H. Paulson. If you want to vote, 39.3% approve, 60.7% disapprove of the job Heinicke's doing in office as QB1. We can continue discussing this. Plus, Ryan explains it all next, a very popular segment that's been sweeping D.C. What will we ask him to explain, and will he be able to do it? You'll find out on The Fan. Michael Jenkins is on the show at 6. We'll get ready for Thursday Night Football. He got us for a little longer tonight. Caps pregame starts at 6:45. If you missed Logan Paulson yesterday, had some strong words about the offense, Scott Turner, and needing to be more imaginative. Make sure you are locked in at about 6:30 to hear what Logie said right here on The Fan. But without further ado, this is a segment we've done a couple of times. We like it. We just want to do it enough, basically, that we keep it in the rotation, that it stays fresh, that you guys are always looking forward to it. It is time for Ryan to explain it all.
The show was actually good, by the way.
It existed. I liked it, actually.
Yeah,
that's
it
true.
Was good.
Ryan probably has the smallest file on Clarissa Explains It All.
Melissa Joan Hart?
I got zero.
Who was her friend that used to always come over to the window and put a ladder up and crawl into her bedroom?
I have zero idea what you guys are talking about.
Okay. This is a great start to
actually,
Ryan.
Actually, don't remember that dude's name. What was his name?
Sam.
It was Sam?
Oh, Sam.
Okay.
By the way, it's so strange now to think about that, just as like a father, that
oh, I know.
Your teenage daughter would just...
Excuse me?
It was her friend. He would just come over completely platonically and just constantly sit in a room and talk about school. Very weird.
Yeah, the version that wasn't on the Disney Channel did it differently, I'm sure.
Right. But he would always just put the ladder down on the window and then just climb up into the bed. It was very, I mean, not into the bed. Very
Whoa.
Rarely into the bed.
Whoa, that
escalated.
Yeah. He would climb up into the room and then sit on the bed and like they'd talk about.
What version are you talking about that wasn't on Disney? Or was that a joke?
No, it's just a saying.
That was a joke.
Oh, okay. It's a saying.
Okay,
yeah.
My bad. I thought I missed something.
You did miss something. It was a joke that you missed.
Well, zanger.
All right, so without further ado, it's time to put Ryan on the hot seat. It's not that difficult, but we just give him a thing that everybody knows about, and he has to explain it to us. So, Danny, you've been working hard looking through the list of suggestions. By the way, please suggest things to us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny.
Yes, please.
So that we can, in the future, use those ideas. But what'd you come up with?
Ryan, your challenge today, explain to Grant, Danny, that's me, Darius and our listenership, explain the Electoral College.
Oh, this is bad.
Is it?
We're in trouble.
Are we?
Okay.
You're normally so confident.
Yeah, actually. So do you want me to explain like how it became what it is today?
Always
or just
good
explain
when he
what
starts
it is?
With a question.
You are attempting
just
to
go ahead. Hold on. Just floor is yours.
Right. Yeah, you're attempting to delay by asking follow-ups.
No.
What's the Electoral College? Explain it to me.
All right. So each state has a different amount of senators that represent each state.
Different and number of senators for each state.
Okay.
So how many? Well, keep going. Sorry.
All right.
So far, you're correct, obviously.
Exactly. So I believe Virginia has 13. 13 seats.
13
the Electoral
senators?
College.
These are not the. These are the senators or the seats.
See, that's where I'm struggling.
Okay.
If they're senators or if they're just like they call it seats at the table or whatever the hell it is. I don't know.
So is it?
Is the table? It might be at Congress where you know. You have 13 senators
yes,
representing you?
Congress, sure.
Okay. So I'm confused. So Virginia has 13 senators.
Mm-hmm.
How many senators do they have in California, more or less?
California has a ton.
Because it's bigger.
Exactly. It goes by, like, population size. I do know that. Mm-hmm. It's not just population also. It's just growth, income, as
growth,
so
income.
By they do it by money, too.
Yes. I mean, it depends because, like, mm-hmm. I know in Nebraska, it's like a split weird thing there.
So because they have different amounts of money there?
Nah, I mean, I just think because in Nebraska, they pull in money from all the agriculture they do, like
right.
corn.
So the number of senators you get is based on... Stop it. I'm trying to understand.
The number of senators is so much better than I thought.
Is based on population, partly, which you obviously have. Then what can you enumerate the other factors that determines how many senators you get?
So I would say, like, income as a state as a whole.
Okay.
So, like,
so if a state's prosperous, it's going to have more senators.
Exactly. Yes.
All right.
So
what state has the fewest senators?
The fewest, I would go with, I want to say Iowa, but I feel like Iowa's sneaky.
Iowa does have, they do have fewer senators than you think they do.
The sneaky state. They do. Iowa's motto on the license plate.
I would go with Montana. I'm pretty sure Montana has the least amount of electoral college votes.
Okay. So, but hold on. You keep saying electoral college votes. That's the same thing as number of senators. Or different.
So, the electoral college is like the amount of seats that you have in the House. So, whether it's senators or Congress people.
Oh, no. So, are you talking about senators or the House of Representatives?
I get those so confused.
So how many senators do you think we have?
The building's right over there, dude. I got to get you a tour.
I know. Yeah, it is right down the street. But I would say we get... Are you asking for Virginia?
In America, roughly how many senators are there?
253.
200? That was an exact, very quick,
yes.
no hesitation number.
Yes.
Why? How do you know the answer?
I feel like it's
in the 200s. I'm actually impressed, but I just want to know how you know that.
I feel like it's in the 200s. That's, in my mind, it's right around there. We're camping around the 250 mark.
But that's why you have to get to, how many electoral college votes do you need to win the presidency?
Well, you need more than half.
So you
That's
would need.
Well, yeah, okay.
So when they always say countdown two,
it's the electoral college,
right? But it's half of 253. So 120 and change.
We'll go 126 and a half. I'm pretty good at math.
Okay, but how do you get a half?
You get that half. Exactly. Nebraska. Nebraska.
So if I was to host a show on election night,
Grant Kornacki,
would say countdown to 126 and a half.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
No. I take that back. Not 126 and a half. You wouldn't.
You would do
127 because that breaks even.
There you go.
Yeah, it does. So
what is the actual electoral college?
We still haven't gotten
there. What is that?
I mean, I want to say that it basically just determines who's the president along state by state.
Mm-hmm.
They hold it. So I know Virginia, I want to say, is 13. I've already stated that.
Yep.
But I'll state it again.
Virginia's doing great.
Thank you, Governor.
And yeah, it represents the value of a state.
So you vote and what happens? You have 10 seconds.
I vote.
Vote and then what happens?
Hang on. You know what we'll do? You have to come in here and sit during the break so you don't look anything up. And we can continue to talk to him. And people can ask questions of him next segment. How about that?
I like it. Yeah.
We could blow out the phones on football and other stuff. And people can ask questions of him about the Electoral College. But you need to come sit in here so that you don't do any Googling. Ryan explains it all. A segment that is going to have him explain a lot of things really well, it seems like. Grant and Danny on the Fan. I don't want to waste any time here. I'm getting tweets from people furious that the commercial break wasn't ending, as this guy said, because he couldn't wait to hear what Ryan said next. So we've just thrown some things out in the rundown. So here's what we learned. This segment is called Ryan Explains It All.
Mm-hmm.
Today we've asked him to explain the Electoral College. We have learned that the Electoral College is a number value for each state.
Yes.
Which is assigned to the number of senators they have.
Yes.
So Virginia has 13 senators. 13 California senators. Has
55 or 53. I forgot which I said. It's right. It's in that ballpark. 55 to 53. We'll go 55. Senators. Why not? Senators.
Right. Clearly. You said you do get confused sometimes between senators and House of Representatives.
Yes.
Okay. We also learned that in order to win the presidency, you need 126 and a half.
But they rounded up to 127.
Right. No.
Right, then what you said?
That's what you said.
It can't be 126 and a half. I'm dumb. I'm not stupid. I think.
I see.
So I would say 127.
127. And these are the votes of the senators cast the votes.
No, it's the people.
No. Right, but so the people elect a president.
Yes.
But what? How does that correlate? You're saying it's the same number, the Electoral College. If it's the same number senators as electoral votes, how does that work? If the senators aren't casting the votes,
it's because they're just the oh.
Yeah, you see where Grant's at there. I want to know, Ryan. You're old enough now. Uh-huh. You write down your little name there for president of the United States, and you turn in that ballot. Go. What happens
when I vote?
Yep, you have voted. You've wrote in Darris Dameron for president. You slide that SOB in there. What happens next?
Just wait and see who's elected.
Yep.
Right. Well, right. Is that what you were looking for, Danny?
No. The whole point of the exercise was the Electoral College.
Yes.
Right? What are we doing there? You voted. You wait and see.
How does the Electoral College work? We haven't really gotten to that yet.
It just represents your state. Mm-hmm.
But what is it?
The House?
The House.
The House of Representatives.
Okay. Wait, but we've been talking about senators. Are senators in the House of Representatives?
No.
They're
in the Senate.
Okay.
Okay. So you said there. How many senators? You said five something.
In Virginia, or
no, we know you said in Virginia there are
253.
253 senators.
How many House of Representatives?
Let's go 478.
Okay.
There wouldn't be way more House of Representatives than senators. You don't think? Like an 8-to-1 ratio. You don't think it's a massively bigger number?
I mean,
you know what? It's your guess.
It's my guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel confident.
Fine. Let's go to Chris, who's in Falls Church on Grant and Danny. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long time listener, first time caller.
Hey, buddy.
Just wanted to call in. I really wanted to point out, you know, this is a really important phone call. It's something I really appreciate you guys doing for me. I was wondering if Ryan recognized my voice.
Chris, Falls Church. I recognize your voice. It's a little talk. Keep talking, Chris.
Talk more, Chris. Do more talking.
Say something in the context that he would know you.
Say something in the context that he would know me. All right. So let's see. Let's talk about retirement funds. What kind of retirement funds do you guys usually kind of have with, like, Your benefits with your job? Once you got your job, you wrote a resume, you know, you wrote a cover letter.
Chris, he's very confused. He's mouthing he doesn't know you, so you have to tell him who you are.
He has no idea who I am, Ryan. I'm so disappointed. This is Mr. Shores, your economics and personal finance teacher.
Oh, Mr. Shores!
So you're one of his teachers. You have to be just ashamed and embarrassed right now, right?
Mildly. I can't say I'm too surprised. I personally didn't teach him government, so you know, we can talk to.
But you know who did?
Call whoever taught him government. Thank you, Mr. Shores.
Wait, Mr. Shores.
No,
I think
gone.
He hung up.
He's gone. He's gone.
Wow.
He's gone.
Wow. Mr. Shores was great. I loved Mr. Shores.
I listened a lot.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dominic in Ohio. Thank you, by the way, for the call, Chris. That's funny. Dominic, you got a question for Ryan on the Electoral College?
I do. Ryan, I was going to ask you something about gerrymandering and how that impacts the voting on Electoral College, but what I really wanted to drill down in, because Ohio is a swing state, obviously, I wanted you to explain a little bit further on why Ohio gets 18 Electoral College votes, because Ohio, as everybody knows, is mostly cornfield, but we make up all of those votes based on our economic factor. I want to know a little bit more on how
the economic factor.
Dominic, we didn't tell people who weren't listening last segment. It's a great point by Dominic. You've also been on record as saying the Electoral College number of votes that you get is based on the amount of money that you bring in for the country.
Yes, I believe that with the more population you have is the more money that you're going to be making for yourself, your family, and for your state. And
direct correlation to that.
There is a direct correlation.
Larger population, more money you make for your family.
That just makes good intuitive sense.
So in California, you're going to have more money for your family than in another state because it's just a larger population.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but that's why they have as many seats as they do in the House or in the Electoral College. Mm-hmm.
Ted in D.C., you got anything you wanted to say to Ryan?
Ryan, what parallel universe are you operating in? There is no way that explanation, you have history teachers and kids trying to graduate from high school taking U.S. history just went off the deep end. Based upon income, directly, no way, shape, and form.
I went into there. And I screened all the calls during the break
because
we had to bring Ryan in so he wasn't Googling. And Ted called in, and he was just exasperated. He's like, y'all just set history back 200 years. And I was like, no. He's like, are you guys this dumb? I said, no. Because the first thing is everyone calls in and they lump
us
in.
They try to correct us.
Yeah, they're telling, like, Grant, I thought you were smarter than this. And I'm like, this is Ryan that we're asking these questions to, sir. But then he said, I said, do you have a question for Ryan? He's like, no. I just want to tell him this is insane or something like that.
What's amazing is he knows exactly how many votes Virginia has. And he said 13 a dozen times.
Yeah.
He knows that.
Because they have 13. He knows they have 13 senators.
What is the Electoral College? That's what I want.
Ryan's in Manassas has a question. Ryan, okay, Ryan. What's up?
Hey, guys. I got to be honest. It sounds like, and me included, everyone who's called in thus far is likely a teacher because we're all just really confused right now and a little worried, but it's no big deal.
Do you want to go teach his class?
My question for you. Yeah, no.
I would love to.
Honestly, he said no.
Bring him in for a
day. I'm good at quick math.
What's your question for him?
Ryan, so based on what you've explained thus far, mm-hmm. can you explain to me what the senators do in your explanation in the chance of a tie?
Mm. Oh, I see. In the presidential election.
Oh, we got a tie.
So how does it all work?
So I believe the U.S. Senate would come together and then they would vote amongst themselves in case of a tie of the president. They would come in together and they would vote and they would decide the president on that vote.
What state has the most senators?
It's California or Texas.
Okay. What state has the fewest senators?
Montana. No one cares about Montana.
Mm. Montana. Okay. And there's 253 combined.
253 was the total?
Yeah. 253.
Now, if I were to tell you that you need 270 electoral votes to win the presidency, what would you say about that?
You're a liar.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Good to know.
I'm going to try one more time. What is the Electoral College? What is it?
So
where is it? Who is it? And what is it?
The Electoral College.
Yep.
My final definition.
Uh-huh.
The Electoral College, it basically just represents each state with the amount of seats or Senate or senators.
Okay.
And that represents how you would basically cast that. That would go into like the total of trying to elect the president.
Okay. So Grant votes, I vote, you vote.
I vote.
Everybody vote. Everybody has voted. Yo vote. Now you got the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Who's voting? Like what goes
on?
The
people are voting and those numbers on the state. Like whatever represents the number 13, I don't know what it is, a Senate or the House of Representatives. And it basically just represents.
It represents.
The state.
Okay.
We'll stay with that.
How many senators does D.C. have? Or do they not get?
Zippy.
Zippy. So they have no vote electoral votes.
Yeah, because they have no representation.
So D.C.
Taxation without representation. Whoa.
But that means D.C. doesn't have a. So when a presidential election happens,
mm-hmm.
they don't vote for president?
No, they do, but their vote just doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
It goes in as a popular vote. I do know that.
Oh.
Or do I?
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on.
What's this popular vote business?
Stop the phone. What is a popular
vote?
What
is that?
It's just the people's vote.
How do we accumulate the popular vote?
Yeah, how important is that?
I mean, it goes into deciding the state. The presidency isn't won by a total vote. It's won through the Electoral College.
So you can have more people vote for you and lose an election?
Yes. That's what happened in 2016.
That happened in 2016. Has it ever happened before other than that?
Yeah.
Bunch of times.
I would say a couple times. I don't know how many. I do know it happened in 2016.
Okay. And so the popular vote is just the number of people that voted for you.
Sure.
Which, somebody wants to know on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson, which of Virginia's 13 senators is seats is up for grabs? Who's running for that?
Let's go Mark Warner. Mark Warner is on there. Okay. I believe it could be up for grabs. I could be wrong, though.
Yep.
Probably wrong.
Danny, you got any more questions?
So
we got one from Mike and Reston, if you want me to take
it. Yeah, go take Mike and Reston.
Mike and Reston, mine, you're on Grant and Danny. Ryan explains it all here. We've stumbled into the Electoral College. He's trying to tell us how it works.
This segment is pure gold. I'm glad that Mr. Shores did not hear him try to explain what a 401k is, to be quite honest.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Shores wasn't there when he tried to explain.
Extremely disappointed.
That's true. Taught him econ.
You stole my question, Grant. My question was D.C. has no representation in Congress, so what happens to their vote? So essentially what you're saying is they vote for fun. They do
D.C.?
It for fun.
Yeah.
Sure. I live in D.C. Who did I vote for? What happened to my vote?
I mean, it just doesn't go into the Electoral College. The Electoral College decides who.
Is there any other places in the country where you go vote, but it doesn't actually matter that you vote? So when they say your vote matters, they should say your vote matters except D.C. Because it doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's no taxation without representation. That's they're on their
it's
license
no
plate.
Taxation without
taxation without representation. So, okay. Yeah. Taxation without representation. I think that's it. Danny, am I right?
Well, listen, I'm not the one on trial here. So I want to get back. I want to get back to there's a relationship that we've explored a little bit here between the Electoral College and senators.
Yes,
I want to understand that. That's my parallel that I'm having trouble with, Grant.
Oh,
you follow me on this?
Yeah, I've asked this 10 times. He hasn't answered.
Yeah. So
in
other words. This Electoral College, it exists. Is it first of all, do I go somewhere? Is it a place?
No.
It just is.
It's the Electoral College is what represents your state.
Yeah.
So as many seats, let's just call it seats. The seats could represent the House of Representatives or the Senate.
Whoa.
I'm going to go with the Senate. I'm going to say that. And I'm going to say the Senate is what represents that. So in Virginia, for example.
Yeah, because you know about Virginia. Yeah,
let's let them go.
Let's just say Virginia in the U.S. election 2020. Voted blue. So that state's blue. And those seats, 13 seats, get thrown into the Electoral College. And that's what we have.
Okay. Can I ask? Danny asked something. Now, this idea of this Electoral College, is there ever actually a time where they tally these votes up and human beings are like raising a paddle and saying, like, we're here?
Yes, the Iowa caucus.
At the Iowa caucus. Because remember how sneaky Iowa is, right? Ryan told us. That's what happened.
See?
That's what happened.
Iowa.
So hold on. So at the How does the Iowa caucus work, and when is it?
It's like they go into like some middle school gym or whatever, and like in their town,
in Iowa.
They just raise their hands on who to vote for. And I'm pretty sure they just tally them up one by one.
But that's
not everywhere.
Iowa hosts it, but that's every state's?
No. That's just Iowa.
Okay, but then you didn't answer my question. So the Iowa caucus, what I'm saying is there ever a time where all 50 states get together to cast their senatorial votes? You're saying the senators vote, yes?
The senators vote for
the senators vote for the presidency based on who got elected. Is that what you're saying? You've said that the number of senators and the Electoral College votes are the exact same.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so Virginia's 13 senators that are elected or have their seats.
Mm-hmm.
Do they go there to vote in person?
No, their vote. Their vote is casted by the people. The people, they represent the people, and the people vote in whatever.
Okay.
And then whatever.
And
yeah. What Danny said.
Right? Like that's
what Danny said. Yeah.
So I guess that would be my end thought here would be there is no time when everyone gets together to like make sure that.
Except for the Iowa caucus.
Joe Biden, Donald Trump, whoever, like, hey, we are from Montana. You said they have the fewest. How many do you think they have?
One.
One senator.
One senator.
Right.
Okay, and that means one vote.
Yes.
So, like, we have our one electoral vote, and we'd like to give it to who they're going to give it to.
Pick
a football player.
Matt Ryan.
They're going to give it to Matt Ryan.
Matty Ice.
And so they're going to say, we'd like to... That doesn't happen in person ever.
No.
Okay.
Except...
The Iowa caucus.
Let's go to Luke in D.C. Luke, you were going to ask where the Electoral College meets. But Ryan just said it doesn't meet at all.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. I thought everybody was really asking him difficult questions, and I was just going to give him a softball on what building the Electoral College meets in, but
the Capitol.
Apparently it doesn't. So, yeah. Well, okay. And then if he could define a superdelegate for me, that would be awesome, too.
Oh, a superdelegate.
Oh, that's so complicated. Oh,
dude. That's so over what my is head.
A, first of all, what's a delegate?
Over my head. There's a reason I'm in this industry. I don't care about politics. I just don't. I'm going to be honest. I don't care about politics.
He's getting angry
there's
now.
There's a reason he's I'm in coming sports out radio.
Like all of a sudden, he's passion.
Who wants to quiz me about my Nats history? Huh? Huh?
Settle down.
All right.
Tim's in Burke. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Tim,
you there?
Yes, hello. How's it going?
Right. How's it going?
I'd just like to clear some things up for our friend here.
Mm. Go ahead.
Some things about the Electoral College.
Yes.
Also, there are senators and representatives that make up the Electoral College. It is the total number of representatives for each state plus senators. Each state has two senators, and representatives are based on the population of each state.
Are you telling me that, or are you asking me that? I'm a little confused.
I'm telling you that, man.
So I'll take your word, Tim. I'll take your word.
Wait, but as he's saying that, you're shaking your head no.
What part did
what
you disagree
part
with?
Did you hear
well,
that?
No,
was
it was actually
no sense.
I didn't disagree with. It's just the fact that he's talking what I'm preaching. Like I've been saying that.
Exactly. He's saying the same thing that Tim said.
Very different than what you said.
No. I've been going back and forth the Senate and the House. I'm just not sure which one takes up the Electoral College.
Okay, but what he said was that it seemed like you shook your head when he said it and you disagree with. He said there are two senators for every single state.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Right. But Ryan's been saying that the whole time.
No, he's been saying that there are different numbers of. He said there are 13 senators in Virginia.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you think he's wrong?
Yes. Tim, you're wrong.
Okay.
But two things you have to remember. Number one, Iowa. And Nebraska. Right? Remember Nebraska.
We'll see.
Just think about that, right? Just think about the difference between them.
I mean, I don't know if there's any difference between Iowa and Nebraska.
Well, remember, Iowa has the caucus, and Nebraska splits their income for the population.
Exactly.
For their electoral votes. Mm-hmm. That's why they have more than Montana.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, this is clear to me. I don't know what you guys are not getting. Ryan has this.
I agree with Danny.
Ryan has it.
You think he's being serious?
Oh, yeah.
You think he's maybe just
no, he's
joning
serious.
A bit?
No, he's serious.
Okay.
He believes in me like I believe in him.
Any final questions for anybody? Darius, do you have anything before we get out of here? I think he explained it all. I don't think there's any stone left unturned. I think Ryan told us everything we could possibly want to know about the Electoral College. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Clary.
Thank you, everyone.
Our assistant producer.
Thank you. Thank you.
How old are you?
21.
21-year-old Ryan Clary, college
21.
Graduate.
21.
Where'd you go to high school?
Falls Church High School. I'm sorry, Mr. Shores. I'm so sorry.
He's still here. Hold on. Mr. Shores, you there? You proud? You proud papa right now?
Oh, I'm a very proud teacher right
now. There we go. Thank you, Mr. Shores.
I really wanted to thank you guys for the opportunity for this.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Shores, we appreciate you calling in. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
They got to be thrilled. Wayne, where'd you go to college?
George Mason.
Oh, me too. That's it.
That's stings. Yeah, there we go.
That stings.
I'm getting all the angry tweets, by the way. Like, you're sharing misinformation. Like, I live in D.C. I'm very aware of our voting situation. Everyone, please settle down. If you're just tuning in, it's a bit. It is a bit.
I had to explain to so many callers that this is a bit.
The thing about this, they're going to ruin this segment because I don't need to explain it to anyone. Ryan explains it all. Ryan explained it. So he explained it, and that was Ryan's explanation of the Electoral College.
Ryan got
Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan explained
Thank
it
Thank you,
all.
Guys. Thank you. Thank you.
The Iowa caucus
Grant
in the
Danny,
barn.
Michael Jenkins, previewing Thursday Night Football, joins us next. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:45 tonight. Caps hockey pregame at that time. They are on the road for the first time this season. They're looking to make it four straight games to begin the year with at least a point. Make sure you keep it right here on the Fan for pregame at 6:45. Right now, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today and visit BetQL.com to talk to the host of the Daily Tip and Odyssey Sports Insider, Michael Jenkins. Insider calls are brought to you by BetQL. Jenks, week 7, Thursday night football. Broncos, Browns, could be ugly. Lowest total of the weekend, just 40 points projected in this game. What do you think?
Oh, this thing's going to be nasty. It's going to be so ugly. I'm betting the first half under, which I believe you can get at 20.5, just because I think, as you mentioned, A, it's going to be a slog fest. It's going to be so ugly with all of the injuries. Teddy Bridgewater is going to play, but he's banged up. We know Case Keenum is a backup. And I think particularly when it comes to Keenum, it's going to take him a while to get that offense going, if at all. So because we could also see some rain in the forecast, it can make it even uglier. So I like teams to come out slow in this one, and that's why I'm on the under in the first half. It's just going to be a gross football game. I'm going to watch it, but it's going to be gross.
Jenks, where are you at on Cleveland? Everybody's acting like this is the most disappointing team in sports, and Miami and Washington say hello. But I don't think it's that big of a disaster. I really don't. They lost to a really good Chargers team in a shootout, proved they could go up there and score. They lost by a couple points to Kansas City in week one. I just don't see the disaster. I see them treading water while they're really banged up, but I feel like they're going to be okay. Am I nuts?
No, you're absolutely right. This is the problem with this is that when you have a narrative like Cleveland has historically, then when things go poorly, you sort of feed back into that narrative because you guys know the injury situation. Keenum starting. Both of their offensive tackles are questionable, maybe out tonight. They have no starting running backs. OBJ is questionable. They're just banged up across the board. And even last week when they underperformed against the Cardinals, Baker was he had to pop his shoulder back in during the game. So whenever a historically bad team, at least in the past couple decades, and like you said, we can relate to this, starts playing the way they have played, we say, oh, here we go again. They're going down that road. But I'm with you. If you take a step back and look at the big picture, they actually haven't played that poorly. They've just encountered some bad luck along the way.
Yeah, you mentioned the running back situation for the Browns, Jinx. No Nick Chubb already. Now no Kareem Hunt. So Ernie Johnson from TNT, D'Ernest Johnson, is going to get the call in the backfield. Total for him is 59.5 on FanDuel. Starting running back in the 50s is normally enticing to me, but we don't know a whole lot about him. What do you think?
I would probably either stay away or hit the under. I just don't know. Maybe they'll feed him the football, but the one thing that the Broncos really excel at is stopping the run even more so than the pass. You have to pick your poison if you're the Browns. You want to hand it off to Johnson and let him try and run through that Broncos defensive line, or do you want to take a backup quarterback and have him take his risks through the air? Now, it looks like Jarvis Landry will play, so maybe that will help Case Keenum, but I would probably, again, play the under. I just don't know how they're going to move the ball on the ground.
Michael Jenkins with us here on Grant and Danny. Big AFC North matchup, Cincy and Baltimore. Baltimore 6.5-point favorites at home. Number one, I want to get to John Harbaugh and what he's able to do. I don't think he gets enough credit for how good a coach he is. That's point one. But point two, I like this Cincy team generally. I don't know what their ceiling is this year, but I like the way they're built. I kind of like the way they're going about their business. They probably ought to be 5-1, but you know, probably 4-2 maybe fits where they are. I like this group. Can they win in Baltimore? That would be a huge statement winner for them.
I don't think it would be shocking if they did. Baltimore's good as they've been. They're not going to continue this run throughout the season. And you mentioned Cincy's really close to a 5-1 record. And I just love Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be an absolute superstar. And Ja'Marr Chase, his ability to flip on the switch like he's done in the past, what, months since the beginning of the season has been unreal to watch. He went from that disappointing guy who was dropping passes in training camp, and now he's an absolute threat every time he runs down the field. And I don't know if they win this game outright, but when you have an explosive offense like that with an underrated defense in that division, which is so tough playing, there's no doubt in my mind that Cincy can backdoor cover that number or maybe squeak out a win. The Ravens have been playing at a high level. I don't know how long they can keep that up. And from a spread perspective, the Chargers were only getting 2.5 points. So you're telling me that the Bengals are 4 points worse than the Chargers on the road? I don't buy that.
Michael Jenkins on Grant and Danny every Thursday ahead of Thursday Night Football, our Odyssey NFL insider. Washington's going to Lambeau. Opening line was double-digit points. Everyone made fun of me because I said 10 points felt like a lot. Just because Washington hasn't had to deal with that at any point this season, but I mean, look at their last couple of losses to the Bills, where they got worked by 22, 18 at home, 11 to the Saints. I guess it makes sense, right? Green Bay's 5 in a row on the win column. They're pretty good. Maybe that's about right.
Yeah, I think maybe that the line is in the right place. It seemed like a lot initially, and early on I thought, okay, I'm jumping on Washington here. I'm jumping on Washington. But then I sort of sat back and let it settle a little bit. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I think Green Bay might be the right play. I don't like betting spreads that are this large, but when you have Aaron Rodgers back home at Lambeau against that Washington secondary, to me this is about fading the secondary more than anything else. It's sort of like Patrick Mahomes last week. We thought, okay, the Chiefs aren't good against the number, but against the Burgundy Gold secondary, he might have a field day. What happens? They drop 14 points in the fourth quarter. They cover the number, and I can see the same thing happening here, especially on the road. So for me, I would probably lay the points with Green Bay or just not play it at all. It's a big number, but it's hard to fade Aaron Rodgers against a secondary that's struggling that much.
Very open-ended question, and take it however you want to take it. How are you viewing the Raiders going forward?
That's a great question. I think they're going to be better. Actually, it's not so much that they had any sort of built-up angst against John Gruden, and it's easy to have this sort of revisionist history where we look back, and if the Raiders start winning, we'll say, oh, look at them now. They didn't like John Gruden. They're playing a lot better. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think when something like that happens, if the locker room is close, no matter what the controversy is, you have a couple things that can take place. The guys can break apart. They can quit. They can be angry about it, or it can galvanize them, and they find sort of a common goal and say, you know what, maybe we lost our head coach, but we're still in this. We're still talented. So let's play some football. And I feel like the Raiders did that last week. They put up offensive numbers that we hadn't seen since the first week or two of the season. So I'm not saying these guys are going to make a serious run in the AFC, but they're three-point favorites this weekend in Vegas, and I kind of like them. They showed last week that they're not going to be fazed by Gruden being gone.
Jinx, what's your prediction tonight? Final score.
I'm going to go with the Broncos just because Teddy Bridgewater covers on the road. What is his number? 23-4-1 against the number as a road dog. So even though he's banged up, I'm going to go Broncos 20, Browns 17.
I like a 6-3 game, like a pitcher's duel at certain points in the mud.
Probably more accurate.
Yeah, one other game. Any other games you got circled for the weekend you're excited about?
The only other game I've been looking at is I like the Patriots laying 7 at home against the Jets. I know the Patriots have struggled this season, but they put up a fight last week against Dallas. And back when they played earlier this year in the Meadowlands, the Jets got ripped up by the Patriots because Zach Wilson was not ready for that Bill Belichick defense. Is he really going to be ready to go into Foxborough? And has he shown any sort of improvement to make you think the Jets can hang with the Patriots? 7's on that key number. I feel like at worst, maybe you push, but that to me has at least a 10-point win by the Patriots. I just don't know how Zach Wilson's going to solve them.
Thank you, Jinx.
Thanks, boys. Have a good weekend.
Be you well, too, bro. Buddy. Thanks to Michael Jenkins, our Odyssey NFL insider. Caps Hockey comes your way next, right here on 106.7 The Fan. Ben Raby, John Walton, and the crew have your broadcast. Live from New Jersey this evening, the Caps taking on the Devils. You're listening to The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.